Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial to join us with your question on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Our resource of the month, all this month, has been Love Thy Body by Nancy Piercy. It's answering hard questions about life and sexuality. It's an absolute must for your library, even if you don't read the whole book. Immediately, the book will be apropos for the rest of your life. The book has many very significant stories in it. For example, Nancy talks about a BBC film titled Transgender Kids, which features a desister named Alex. A desister is a child or children who come to accept their biological sexual identity. What a novel notion. But they have a name for that, desister. And the story is about Alex, a two-year-old, who told her parents that she was a boy. And when they refused to treat her as a boy, she would explode, according to the BBC film, in angry outbursts. She would literally scream, "I'm a boy, I'm a boy," at the top of her lungs while clenching her fists and punching herself in the genitals. Raising Alex, says her father, was quite a battle. It was like a war zone. Fortunately, the family found a clinic, and the clinic encouraged Alex to be less rigid in her concept of gender. We're talking about a two-year-old here. To consider that there are lots of ways to be a girl. You can be a girl who plays with Barbie dolls, or you can be a girl who plays soccer. Both are equally acceptable. At age 8, Alex joined a baseball team. And there, for the very first time, she met girls like herself. And she said, "I saw these other girls who were maybe more tomboy, and they liked to do sporty things, and I had never really come across that before." And though it took 4 more years to make a complete turnaround, that was the pivotal moment. The moment when Alex started to accept herself for who she was, a girl who also had boy interests. Unfortunately, and here's the unfortunate part, trans activists deny the existence of desisters, calling it a myth. So in 2015, they even succeeded in closing the clinic where Alex received counseling. Trans-affirming therapists insist that even exploring why a person has gender dysphoria instead of immediately accepting it as the person's authentic self is offensive, bigoted, and transphobic. So, you know, the moment the two-year-old says, "I'm a girl, I'm a girl, I'm a girl," or "I'm a boy, I'm a boy, I'm a boy," regardless of their biological gender, you have to accept what they're saying. And if you give them counseling, well, that is, again, offensive. It's bigoted. It's transphobic. So what does Nancy Piercy say in this regard? She says this: why is it considered acceptable to carve up a person's body to match their inner self, or at least their inner sense of self, but bigoted to help them change their sense of self to match their body? Feelings can change. But the body is an observable fact that does not change. It makes sense to treat. It is a reliable marker of sexual identity. What Nancy is saying here is absolutely 100% correct. The truth of the matter is you cannot change your gender. Your biological gender is not just long hair. It's not just a feminine appearance. It is something that goes all the way down to a cellular level. It's molecular. And everything you do to change it is but cosmetic. And when you start to make the changes, when someone is 2, or 4, or 6, or 8, or 10, that ought to be called child abuse. Again, because feelings are notoriously unreliable. Nancy cashes this out in a book called Love Thy Body, and that's why I am insistent that this is a book that people need. It's why I have been recommending it all month long. It is available for those who support the ministry. This is the last day. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Again, you can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as it is the end of the month, let me also mention that we have a rather alarming deficit this month. We are down somewhere in the vicinity of $80,000. It might be a little more, it might be a little less, depending on what came into the ministry in terms of donations this month. But at any rate, it is an alarming number. And I give you the number not because I'm alarmed, although it is alarming. And the reason I'm not alarmed is that I've been doing this for many, many years, and I found out over the years that God always supplies. He always supplies through His people. My job is simply to let people know about the circumstance, about the deficit, and ask you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I've also mentioned our mailing address. Write it down if you haven't done that already. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You know, I've mentioned this from time to time in various formats, but I want to elaborate a little in light of our deficit, that there are moments in history that portend epic change, some for the better and some for the worse. I think about the fact that 100 million years ago, one thing might have been the reality. Today, there's a completely different reality. But let's think in terms of just 100 years ago. 100 years ago, Mahatma Gandhi, initiated a civil disobedience movement that moved tens of millions towards a revolution of independence. And his nonviolent ethic became a model for civil rights leaders from Martin Luther King to Nelson Mandela. In a darker hue, 100 years ago, Vladimir Lenin initiated a Bolshevik revolution that led to a global persecution of Christians that is unrivaled since the time of ancient Rome. And all of this lets us know that civilization is essentially fragile, as Lee Kuan Yew once said. He was the founder of Singapore. The Greek states no longer exist. They have not vanished physically, but they've been absorbed. The city-state Athens has disappeared. Other cities have been sacked and destroyed. Their people decimated or dispersed. It wasn't all that long ago, I think about 10 days ago, I viewed Athens from the Acropolis. And suddenly reality impinges upon delusion. Because as I climbed the Acropolis, I could look and see lying what was once dubbed the City of Light. And that City of Light now destroyed. I could view the remnants of ancient gods and kings, or the Parthenon that stood for 2,000 years and now lies in devastation. I could see the carnage of a civilization that once strode upon the stage of human history like a leviathan. And as I looked, I could contemplate what a fragile thing civilization is, how near we are to losing it. If you were a Russian prior to 1917, would you have anticipated that atheistic Bolsheviks would confiscate church property? That they would murder 12,000 clergy? Could you have imagined 100,000 Christian lay leaders being shot to death? Or a revolution that would eventually take the lives of 100 million people? The hinge of history. It swings open and then with suddenness closes. Which is to say that we have a moment today, 100 years after Lenin, 100 years after Gandhi, we have an opportunity to make a difference, to make this our moment in history. We can't change what happened in the past generation, nor are we responsible for future generations, but we are responsible for this generation. And this is a generation in which a vast majority of millennials are living the faith. And given the status quo, if nothing is done, they will not return. And so I pose the question, will we seize this moment? Or will we allow the hinge of history to swing shut as God gives us over to our own settled choices? If we are to seize the moment, I think at least three things need to converge. The first is digital media, the connective tissue of our generation, just as the Roman roads were at the time of Christ. And therefore, it's imperative that we utilize digital media platforms for the full sake of the gospel. Secondly, I think it's crucial that we once again recognize in full the power inherent in discipleship. If there are only 100 million Christians on the planet today, and the numbers say that those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips is far larger than that. But if we just take a low common denominator and say there are 100 million, if each one led someone to faith in Christ into the church life this year, and everyone did the same thing the following year, it would take less than 7 years to evangelize the planet. So the question is, why do we not do it? I think the answer is we have our health, we have our wealth, we have our altars, we have our churches, and we are at ease. There's also a matter of deification. And that is the enchanted reality that we can make disciples by a power that is in us but not of us. Those, as the Apostle Paul said, who are made perfect in Christ, do not labor in their own energy, rather with all Christ's energy which so powerfully works in us. You know, my laptop has a limited supply of energy. So in time, its internal power will prove insufficient. And yet, when I plug it into an inexhaustible energy supply, the screen will once again radiate like the face of Moses on Mount Sinai. And the disciples got a glimpse of this inexhaustible energy on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John witnessed a dazzling display of uncreated power. The face of Christ. It shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. They experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration the ultimate lawgiver, the archetypal prophet in glorious splendor, and were themselves enveloped in uncreated energy. And that, I would submit, is the energy that alone is sufficient to empower us in the midst of this moment in history. It is the mysterious energy by which we may as yet claim the soul of the world against the forces of a liberal liberalism and illicit Islam. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your questions, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll be right back.
Turning the tables on the media boilerplate that portrays Christianity as harsh and hateful, especially concerning same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, and abortion, Nancy Piercy makes the compelling case that Christianity sustains the dignity of the body and accords with science and biology. Don't miss Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master Love Thy Body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Supporters of abortion rights deny the fetus is a person, though she or he is biologically human. Is this equality for women, or does it threaten the intrinsic value of all humans? Be sure to read Nancy Piercy's new book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And before we go to our callers, a quick reminder that those who join Sirius monthly support team can receive a copy of any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. And we do need many of you to join Sirius monthly support team. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Let's go to the phone lines. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Brendan, Fresno, California, listening on the web. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing good. You know, Hank, I got to tell you, before I get to my question, just real quick, I just graduated from UCLA, and now I'm back home in Fresno, and you have been a lifeline to almost, it feels like, sane teaching among some of the stuff I was learning out there. So truly appreciate your Bible focus and, you know, all that. It's a different world in California and specifically at UCLA. So thank you for keeping me grounded.
You got it. Thank you for that encouragement.
Yeah. My question is, I'm looking at seminary now and trying to figure out where God's leading me to ultimately become a pastor, to work in ministry. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on schools in general, if anything stands out, and then specifically the Master's Seminary. And I believe you said your friend, John MacArthur, but I know recently there was the orthodoxy stuff that he said. And if you just had any thoughts on seminary and specifically Master's, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was unfortunate that John MacArthur made the remarks that he did, and I did do a video on that that people can find on the web by simply Googling Hanegraaff MacArthur. But having said all of that, as I said in the video, I respect John, and I certainly respect the school that he founded. In fact, I was a speaker for the dedication of the MacArthur Chapel at that school, and so I continue to think of it highly as a seminary, and my views have not changed on that. Now, I think there are many, many good options that are available, and I think you ought to check all of them out. Faith Evangelical Seminary in Tacoma, Washington, that has a Lutheran bent. Talbot School of Theology, La Mirada, California, fantastic. There are many other schools that I really like. Hellenic College, Holy Cross, that's a Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. St. Vladimir's. I mean, there are so many great choices, and I mean, the Lord will have to lead you in terms of the choice that you make. It's a seminal choice. It's a very important choice, and I know what my preferences would be at this point, but let me just say that there are great, great choices available to Christians today.
Okay, well, thank you. I also wanted to just let you know, growing up, I grew up in an Armenian Orthodox church and have sort of become, I guess, evangelical. But in any case, your recent thing with Orthodoxy and converting, I guess, I don't know, I don't like to say converting, you're still a Christian. But in any case, it's meant a lot to me to see how Orthodoxy and evangelical beliefs can work together in you, and, you know, just how there's reconciliation there and positivity. And that's meant a lot to me personally, so I also just wanted to let you know about that. But thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brendan. And yeah, it's really true. If we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. Those who are genuine Christians have to hang together. And one thing I have learned over more than 30 years of active ministry all over the world is that God has his people everywhere. I still remember when I first went to China. And I discovered people who didn't have the theological acumen that I might have, but who had life. And they were transformative for me. So here I found a group that we once thought to be cultic, to be some of the best examples of Christianity I'd ever run into. In fact, they started a quest for me that continues on to this very day to not only know doctrine, but to experience the life that is life indeed. Jesus Christ said that very thing, I have come that they might have life and have life to the full. So I think one of the big problems that we have today is tribalism. What we ought to be doing is uniting around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. And rather than being tribal and separating in an inordinate fashion, we ought to be glued together as an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. This is not an ecumenical movement for the sake of an ecumenical movement, but it is an ecumenical movement for true unity around the essentials by which we ought to be bound together. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jay in Old Hickory, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm quite well. I'm calling you because I refer to you, and this is in a nice complimentary way, I call you my Bible nerd because you know so much about God's Word. You know, you just study it and study it, and you can break it apart, and that's kind of what we nerds do. We investigate and study and study, and we come up with the answers. So, since Bill Gates, to be nerdish is cool, which is cool for me because I'm a big nerd, I'll just tell you.
But well, I'm glad to be talking to a fellow nerd.
Huh?
I'm glad to be talking to a fellow nerd.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Here's my question.
Sure.
I want to know if you've ever heard of a group called The Way. It's a Christian home study group. I forget where their base is, but I was interested if you had heard of them, and if so, what do you think of their group?
Yeah, well, this is known formally as The Way International. It was founded by a guy named Victor Paul Weirwell. Yeah, and I think it was founded back in 1942. The problem with this group is they look and act as though they are genuinely Christian, but they are not. And what I was saying earlier is that we ought to be united around the essentials of the historic Christian faith, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So the essentials become the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Here's the problem with The Way International. They deny essential Christian doctrine. For example, they deny the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, Weirwell actually wrote a book titled Jesus Christ is Not God. And I think that says it all. But there's more. They deny the Trinity. In fact, according to Weirwell, the Trinity is of pagan origin. They deny the personality of the Holy Spirit. They deny the two natures of Christ. In other words, that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. They deny eternal conscious punishment for the unrighteous, and the list could go on and on and on. And I was doing a Hank Unplugged podcast earlier today, and one of the points that we discussed in this podcast is that Satan packages and repackages the lie in a multitude of ways. He never presents evil in its naked deformity, because if he did, we wouldn't buy into it. The fact of the matter is we can't keep up with all the repackaging. Even if you do what I do, even if I'm, quote, a nerd, you can't keep up with it all. Again, the permutations are just too many. So we have to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. The principle is that contrast is the mother of clarity. So if you want to know whether the Way International is a crooked stick, you lay the straight stick of essential Christian doctrine next to it, and you see its crookedness by comparison. So again, I would call the Way International a cult because they deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Okay. I know some people that are in that home study group, The Way, and I talked to him about it a little bit, and I'm always willing to kind of just listen because I like to see, I'm nerdish enough to where I want to know what you're talking about. I want to know what you're saying. Doesn't mean I have to buy into it or think anything of it, but I want to just see what you have to say. And when they said they didn't go along with the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, that I took some issue with. I also took some issue with this, and I think you've heard of this, and I believe I've heard you talk about it before, called, When, you know, where Paul said that when we're absent from the body, we're with the Lord, that they don't believe in that. What is it called? Is it death sleep or soul sleep? Soul sleep. They believe in that.
Yes, and there's nothing whatsoever in Scripture to commend the idea of soul sleep. In fact, we have exactly the opposite that is communicated even by our Lord in Luke chapter 16. There you have a rich man and Lazarus. They both die, and they both find that they have eternal conscious existence after the death of the body. So we read the Lord saying that Lazarus, the beggar, he is being comforted in Abraham's bosom, or paradise, a way of talking about being comforted in the presence of God. And then we read about the rich man who ends up in torment. So this is very clear evidence that the soul continues to exist after the death of the body. The soul of man is indistinguishable from the whole of man, according to what these people are saying, but that's simply not true. They're saying that the soul cannot continue to exist consciously apart from the body, but Jesus is saying precisely the opposite. The other thing I think that's important is to recognize the metaphors of Scripture, because sleep is a common biblical metaphor for the death of the body. So in John 11, you have the clearest example, because Jesus there tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he's going to get better. But Jesus was speaking of his death. The disciples thought natural sleep, and so he finally had to dissuade them of their error and say, Lazarus is dead. In other words, he speaks to them very plainly. He says, no, he's not sleeping. He's dead. And there are myriad other examples where the Bible speaks of the body asleep in death. But the Bible never speaks of the soul asleep in death. So again, with the Way International, we have to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Jay, thank you so much for your call. We're coming up to station break. Back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Also, the quote of the day. It's a rather long quote, but I think a very, very important quote. I want to share it with you as soon as we come back. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
Advocates for same-sex sexuality disconnect sexuality from biological identity. Is this liberating, or does it denigrate biology? Discover the truth in Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, answering hard questions about life and sexuality. To receive your copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-transforming outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
We'll be right back.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master Love Thy Body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Trans activists detach gender from biological sex. Kids down to kindergarten are being taught their bodies are irrelevant. Is this affirming or does it demean the body? Find out in Nancy Piercy's new book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. To receive your hardcover copy of Love Thy Body as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Adolf Saphir. He was a 19th century minister in the Presbyterian Church of England. He was born into a Hungarian Jewish family. The family became followers of Jesus Christ at the preaching of the Jewish mission of the Church of Scotland, and Adolf applied his deep knowledge of Jewish literature and manners to his biblical studies and his preaching. He was very, very eloquent, and the quote of the day actually has to do with what he said about the Lord's Prayer. I call it the prayer of Jesus. There's a Jesus prayer that is stamped upon my DNA and the prayer of Jesus, which I pray every single day. And he had something to say about the unfathomed resources and riches that you can find in the prayer of Jesus or the Lord's Prayer. While the prayer of Jesus is not a mantra, it certainly is a prayer manner. And as such, it is eloquently described as followed by Dr. Adolf Sevier. It is a model prayer, and as such commends itself to the most superficial glance, approves itself at once to the conscience of man. It is beautiful and symmetrical like the most finished work of art. The words are plain and unadorned, and yet majestic and so transparent and appropriate that, once fixed in the memory, no other expressions ever mix themselves up with them. The thought of substituting other words never enters the mind. Grave and solemn are the petitions, and yet the serenity and tranquil confidence, the peace and joy which they breathe, prove attractive to every heart. The prayer is short, that it may be quickly learned, easily remembered, and frequently used, but it contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. In its simplicity, it seems adapted purposely for the weakness of the inexperienced and ignorant, and yet none can say that he is familiar with the height and depth which it reveals and with the treasures of wisdom it contains. It is calm and suited to the even tenor of our daily life, and yet, in times of trouble and conflict, the Church has felt its value and power more especially, has discovered anew that it anticipates every difficulty and danger, that it solves every problem and comforts the disciples of Christ in every tribulation of the world. It is the beloved and revered friend of our childhood, and it grows with our growth a never-failing counselor and companion amid all the changing scenes of life. And as in our lifetime we must confess ourselves with Luther to be only learning the high and deep lessons of those petitions, so it will take eternity to give them their answer. I quote this, and I memorized it actually many, many years ago when I was writing a book called The Prayer of Jesus. Again, it's quoted in The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's my explication of the Prayer of Jesus or of the Lord's Prayer, the book available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jennifer, listening in Seattle, Washington on KCIS. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes. Hi, and thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm calling actually with questions, so whichever one you'd like to speak to, I'd very much appreciate it. The first one is on, just as a broad way to refer to it as Calvinism, and I've been struggling with this for 3 years, trying to come to terms with the idea that people can be doomed from the womb. I understand that you have an argument towards that. I'd very much like to hear your theological basis for that. Struggling with it quite a bit. And then the second thing, if you'd care to address it, is my daughter passed away when she was 8 years old. And the week after she died, she came and saw me 3 times. And I've been told that that could not have happened. However, it did happen. And I just was hoping that you might be willing to speak to that. And I can even hang up to listen to your answer if you'd like. I really appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I'm really sorry for the loss of your child. And I know that there's a very, very deep and intimate connection between a child and their mother. I've seen that in the lives of my wife and my own children. And it is a connection that is inviolate, and it is special, and it is precious, and it is hard for me as a male, quite frankly, to fully fathom. It is something that has a depth to it that, again, is beyond my ability to fully grasp. So I'm sorry for your loss. I have said on many occasions that our children, when they die, they're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. And we can talk to those who have gone on before us. They are that great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking into Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Those are precious words to me. particularly in that I lost a child as well. Kathy and I had a preborn child that died, baby Grace, and we didn't have a great relationship with her because she was preborn. That's a little bit of a different situation than you have. But where the similarity lies is they're both absent from the body. They're present with the Lord. They're part of that great cloud of witnesses. And while we would never presume to pray to a person, we can certainly pray that that person in the presence of the Lord, who has a real live existence, separated only in that they're absent from the body, we can have fellowship with that great cloud of witnesses. We can't pray to those who have departed, but we can certainly pray that they pray for us, for they are in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I think there can be an intimacy of communion between us and those who are departed, very much like we can have intimacy of communion with those who are as yet in the flesh. And all of that made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a deep and precious truth, probably beyond this broadcast to fully plumb. However, having said that, I think it's important to recognize that ghosts are the stuff of superstition. The idea that the living come back to this earth is not something that I find to be valid from a biblical perspective. You know, Lazarus, and I talked about him earlier in the broadcast, he was not permitted to return to the land of the living. So the scriptures make clear that the dead do not inhabit this realm. In fact, it is a notion that I think we need to be very wary of. A ghost exists only in mythology, but demons, and this is the operative point that I'd like to make, demons are more than happy to feed unbiblical delusions. What I'm saying is that we ultimately have to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is true. I've written about this, ghosts in particular, in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. In terms of Calvinism, yeah, I mean, I don't think that God creates people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. And as I've said on the broadcast before, I disagree with Calvin, who said God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it. And the reason I disagree with that is because the Bible says something very, very different. You know, if you read passages like Ezekiel 33, I think it's verse 11, you have the Lord speaking through the prophet saying, "As I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live." So I think the theology has to be tested in light of Scripture, and when you do that, you find out that what Calvin says does not square with the reality of Scripture. Now, having said that, in interest of full disclosure, let me point out that I work with people who are Calvinist and people who are non-Calvinist, and so I find Calvinism to be within the pale of orthodoxy, although I strongly disagree. I think the will plays a part in the debate. And to that end, we have had a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist debate in print. You can find that at equip.org. Two articles that I like to recommend. One is How Should Christians Approach the Problem of Evil? The other, Divine Sovereignty, Human Responsibility Debate. Next up, Glenn in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Enjoy your show and read your material. And I have a question regarding oneness Pentecostalism.
Yes.
I have some family. My wife came out of that. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe in Jesus, one God. Would you consider that a cult? And I know it doesn't. They believe in Jesus, but... And if I'm not mistaken, you have to be baptized and be a part of the church for salvation. But if you're oneness Pentecostal, are you saved? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer, and I thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. And it is the oneness Pentecostal that has divided themselves from the body of Christ. And that's very, very late in church history. I think it's very important for us to realize that the seven ecumenical councils of the early church hammered out these issues with respect to the nature of God, and virtually every single theological error begins right there with a misconception of the nature of God. And in the case of oneness Pentecostals, error begets error. The belief that one must be baptized only in the name of Jesus has led them to a further error that Jesus is himself the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct, but to three manifestations of one God revealed in Jesus. And as you allude to, according to oneness Pentecostalism, the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy. This is a serious compromise and contradiction of the essential of the nature of God as God has delineated in his word, something that we can't fully comprehend, but we most certainly can apprehend. One God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and they never become one another. In fact, they have eternally dwelt in love relationships one with another. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answers Men broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the show. In the meantime, if you have some of the Lord's resources, please consider investing those resources into the ministry.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In Love Thy Body, Nancy Piercy goes beyond politically correct slogans with a riveting expose of the dehumanizing worldview behind same-sex sexuality, transgenderism, abortion, euthanasia, and other watershed moral issues. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Of Nancy Piercy's recent book, Love Thy Body, Answering Hard Questions About Life and Sexuality, Professor Robert P. George of Princeton University says, liberal secularist ideology rests on a mistake, and Nancy Piercy puts her finger right on it. In embracing abortion, euthanasia, homosexual conduct and relationships, transgenderism and the like, liberal secularism is philosophically as well as theologically untenable. Piercy is precisely clear about what makes humans valuable. Don't just read, master Love Thy Body. To receive your hardcover copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-transforming outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.